It's going to be Bible preaching. We're going to stay Bible. And it begins tonight. So you pray for Dr. Stauffer out of Knoxville, Tennessee, as he's coming to the pulpit.
All right. I do appreciate you being here. I appreciate Brother Trevor. And he lost me on Catalyst. So, boy, I'll tell you what. You must have a science background, right?
I do.
I'll bet. Again, this thing's been planned for quite a while. This is the catalyst of sorts. I'm not actually preaching on prophecy, but I am going to do some teaching. The message I'm going to give you, I reorganized about 30 minutes ago. The Sunday school lesson that I did this morning, if you'll turn there to 2 Samuel chapter 20, we teach through the Bible every 7 years, and we are on 2 Samuel chapter 20. And as I was reading through there, I saw a phrase, man of Belial. So look at verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 20. There happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba. So as I was looking at that, I thought, I've never studied out what Belial is. Who is it? What is it? How are you somebody that's a child of Belial or a man of Belial? And so I ran the references on it. In Deuteronomy 13:13, the Bible says, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. So these are children of Belial. They go and serve other gods. They are not true believers. They are not believers today. They are not believers in the past. But this thing kept leading on to some more things. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this is all just a little bit of an introduction for you. We all need to know and trust in the Lord. And by the way, that's salvation. If you don't know the Lord, you are not saved. And that's the message tonight that I'm going to be looking at. 1 Samuel chapter 2 talks about the sons of Eli. And what does it say about them in verse 12? Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Boy, that got me going. They knew not the Lord. They're sons of Belial. Sons of Belial serve other gods and not the true God. So I started looking about knowing God. And I ran all the references and I taught a little bit of it in Sunday school this morning. Didn't have a whole lot of time. And then I have to change it around for the preaching. So the whole message is different tonight and more extensive. But look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says, verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So the Bible says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. In other words, maybe he wasn't yet converted. If knowing the Lord has to do with being saved or that type of thing, then he was a young man at that time. You realize that every young person needs to come to a point in their life where they know the Lord. Just because you're born into a Christian home does not make you a Christian. It is a conscious decision that every person needs to make in order to have salvation. In order to spend eternity in heaven, you must come to know the Lord. You're not born a Christian. That's important to understand today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. We just pray, Lord, you'd have your will and your way in the services. Lord, you're just such a great God. I want to get out of the way. I want to give your word, and I want to give it in the fashion that you would have me to do it. Lord, I just give you all the glory and honor and praise for anything that might be done through this vessel. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I am really looking forward to the conference this week. We have traveled in January, February, March, and April, not including May. We traveled 25,000 miles. That's a lot of miles. I got really pretty tired, and then we flew down to Florida. I preached down there 6 or 7 times in May. We just got back. We're here, and then I've got another conference in my home church shortly after this, the King James Bible Believers Conference that we have every year. year, and it's at Antioch Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So the basic thing I want you to understand right now is if you don't know the Lord, you're not saved. We just looked at some examples of those children of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, maybe because he was a young man, but he was still serving God. He just hadn't come yet to know the Lord. I think that's an interesting statement there. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll jump into verse 6. The Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The Bible says that He hath given the light of the knowledge, knowing God, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. By the way, knowing God isn't just in your mind. It's not something that's just up here. It is something that the Bible uses as a term to understand that you know Him. He knows you. You are a child of God. So don't think that this is just some type of exercise with your brain, because it's not. Knowing God is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. That's important to understand. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Clearly, every person is in a lost state that knew not God until he or she came to see the light at the time of salvation. After salvation, they both know God and are known of God. Galatians 4:8. Look at what the Bible says. Watch very carefully. Listen, I like to do some Bible study. I don't come in here and want to waste your time. I want to study the Bible tonight. I want you to walk away from here tonight and say, "Hey, I heard, not from the preacher, but I heard from God." Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 8. "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God..." Now he's talking about a time before these Galatian believers were saved. He says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." That's a lost person. "But now..." Boy, I like that. I like the "but nows" in the Bible. "But now, after that ye have known God..." You see that? That's a saved person. He knows God. "But now, after ye are known, ye have known God," or rather, "are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" If you study Galatians and the bondage and all that, these are Christians that are going back to the law, trying to put themselves under the law, or others are trying to put them under the law. But the key that you need to get here is, when ye knew not God, you're lost. When you know God... that means you're saved. Galatians chapter 4 makes it very clear. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Very familiar verse. It's important to recognize that the world does not come to know God through worldly wisdom. It's preaching, and the preaching of the cross, that enables people to know God. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom," what? "Knew not God." What did God do then? If the world couldn't find Him or know Him or come to a saving knowledge of Him through the wisdom of the world, what did God choose to use? Look at the rest of the verse. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So you see, if you want somebody to come to know God, you got to give them a little preaching. You bring them to church. Listen, if you tell them the gospel, you're preaching to them, whether you know it or not. We preach the gospel. We preach Christ Jesus. That is why what is lacking in most religions and most churches today, even Baptist churches, have moved away from preaching the truth. Turn to 1 John. We'll park here for a little while. The lost and unbelieving do not know God. I believe that's been proven already in the scripture that we've looked at. But 1 John speaks repeatedly about knowing God. For instance, the assurance of salvation comes from an obedient life, one lived according to the commandments and statutes of God. 1 John 2:3. 1 John 2:3. "And hereby we do know that we know Him." if we keep His commandments. Somebody that lives for the Lord has the assurance of salvation, and people that struggle with the assurance of salvation struggle with the assurance of salvation because they don't do what God tells them to do. You know what will make you doubt your salvation faster than anything else? Get out of the will of God. You'll start doubting everything. You say, I would never doubt my salvation. You'd be surprised. Because the Bible says, we do know that we know Him. Why? If you keep His commandments. By the way, keeping His commandments isn't the Ten Commandments. It's the sayings of the Lord. It's the Word of God. You do what He says to do. Look at 1 John chapter 3. The points made again and again in the world, the lost do not know Him. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because what? It knew Him not. If you don't know God, you're not saved. By the way, I'm leading up to something that to me is just fantastic. What you do is you take people from what they know to what they don't know. You understand New Testament salvation. You understand trusting in the Lord in order to be saved after the cross. You understand what it takes, but there's a lot of people that change things before the cross. And we need to look at what that Bible says here in a minute. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You want to know why some people don't hear and heed the preaching? 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He's talking to Christians. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know why people don't listen to the preaching? Because they're not saved. And by the way, or you're a backslidden Christian. Understand, I don't go around trying to get retreads. You get saved one time. One time you realize you're a sinner, you realize you're lost, you realize you need Jesus, you get saved, you're saved, eternally secure, forever. Amen. But the problem is there's many people that have prayed a prayer and that prayer was worthless because the prayer isn't what saves you. It's trusting in the Lord. The prayer is the outward act of what should be going on inside, and if it hasn't gone on inside, then you're not saved. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation unless you're supposed to doubt it because it doesn't exist. That's important to understand. Look at 1 John chapter 5. The final chapter of 1 John points out that Jesus Christ came so that man could know God. Look at what it says in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him.
Yes.
That is true. And we are in Him, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Praise God, glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
You know why Jesus Christ came? So we could know Him. What does know Him mean? So that we could be saved. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. You are lost until you are saved. You are lost until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and shall know Him and be known of Him, the Bible says. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, just driving this poem, this point that you understand knowing Him means that you are saved, and if you don't know Him, you're not saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Gentiles were without God and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, according to Ephesians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians explains that the Gentiles did not know God. Remember, in the church, there is not Jew or Gentile anymore. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That middle wall partition's broken down. We're one in Christ Jesus. You're not a Jew. You're not a Gentile. You're not even a male or a female. In the body, the Bible says. Now, stay a male, stay a female. You have to say that today because we're in a weird world. Okay? and stay what you were birthed with. Okay? Again, 10 years ago, you didn't have to say all that stuff. I'm not telling you that we're all unisex. I went to this restroom in a store, and my wife said, "Did you get a picture of that? The door, you know, unisex bathroom." I don't even remember where it was. I should take pictures of it because I don't want to go back there again. You know, listen, let's just keep differences the way they are. Men are men, women are women, and God bless America. Or God curse America. We don't get this thing straight. Boy, I almost wore my Alabama shirt up here. I was in Alabama 28 years. Not the football team. I'm talking about the vote. I'm talking about what they just did. Now, it's going to be struck down. You do know this. The Bible Belt is what passed those laws that have recently been passed. But you do know if it goes to the Supreme Court, that the majority of the Supreme Court is Roman Catholic. So now, here's what you're going to see. We Baptists in the Bible Belt have passed the laws. Now let's see if the Supreme Court with the Pope and everybody else can get something done. You know what I mean? If they strike that down, every one of them ought to be excommunicated. Not that it'll do anything, but you know, excommunicate them anyway. Maybe they'll come on over to us and get saved. But let me tell you something. Well, let me move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Remember, there's no Gentiles in the body of Christ because we're all one. So what he's talking about is there's Jew-Gentile Church of God. Church of God includes the saved. The Jew and the Gentile are outside that. And therefore he's saying the Gentiles know not God because they're still lost. Now, we went through the New Testament. Now we need to look, well, let's look at John chapter 17 first. John chapter 17. The Bible says in John 17 that to know thee refers to life eternal. To know Jesus Christ refers to life eternal. John 17, look at verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You know what life eternal is? It's to know God. You say, well, I got that. I don't care. I'm going to give it to you again. Look at verse 25. O righteous Father, this is Jesus praying. The world hath not known thee. Why? The world's lost. The world is lost in sin until you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Life eternal is knowing Jesus Christ. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. A few chapters back, look at verse 19. Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor know my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Look at verse 54 of the same chapter. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him. You see, Israel claimed that, hey, we know God. No, you don't know God if you've never been saved. No, you don't know God if you reject Jesus Christ. That goes for during the gospel period. That goes for today. It goes for in the future after the rapture of the church. It's all about knowing God. I'll prove that to you at the very end. So all you got to do is endure to the end of this message and you will know. Now let's do this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love what I did to this message. This was the 11th point this morning. It's now number 6. I had to cut it apart. I was getting all confused. I said, man, I got to get this thing figured out. Well, here's number 6. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible, or God, rebukes those who are not busy ensuring that others have the knowledge of God. This is about soul winning now. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Boy, isn't it a shameful thing to be a Christian and have the answers and to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that you can be saved by trusting in Him, and yet we fail to tell others about it? Why not get out there and knock on your neighbor's door? Why not when you have a waitress, you know, she gives you good service or whatever, and just get her to smile and give her a tract, invite her to church. Tell her, well, what is that you're giving me? It's a gospel tract. It'll tell you how to be saved. You don't have to spend 15 minutes with a waitress. They've got a job to do. But I'm saying this, use the opportunity to give them a gospel tract. And listen, if you don't give them a smile and you don't give them a tip, keep the tract. Really, really. There are many people, I mean, listen, there's many people who have had a bad witness because they go out and they squeak whenever they leave the table from where they're so cheap. So what are you talking about? You know, if you know, you know. You've seen them do it, or maybe you did it yourself. God forbid. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. Now we're going to do a little prophecy. Isaiah chapter 19. The Bible prophesies in that day that the Egyptians born during the millennium will suffer great calamities, causing them to turn to the Lord. Let me explain something. I'll get into this week, but I've got to give you a little bit of background. The next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. Amen? All right, come to the prophecy conference. That's the next event. Then after the rapture of the church, every believer on earth is gone. There are no believers left on earth. Then who's here? Well, you've got lost people. Then you've got the 144,000 showing up, the two witnesses and the angel that'll go through the air preaching the everlasting gospel. Things are different. It's not going to be the same thing. But there are going to be multitudes saved. You know that because of Revelation 6 and Revelation 7. There will be multitudes saved. No doubt about it. The Scripture is as plain as the back of my hand and anything else you can imagine that's pretty plain. Well, what happens is there's going to be a 7-year period here. I don't really call it the tribulation period, although I'll use that terminology because that's what everybody else uses. Listen, everybody suffers tribulation, but I don't call it the tribulation period. I call it Daniel's 70th week. Why? Because it's all about Israel. Daniel's 70th week is a 7-year period. That 7-year period is split in two. The first half, you've got Michael down on this earth protecting the nation of Israel. God is starting to deal with them again. They build the temple. They start the sacrifice. And at the midpoint, Michael is called off of this earth. He won't be here anymore after that to protect Israel. At the midpoint, Michael, the archangel, goes up into heaven, and Revelation 12 says he casts Satan down to this earth. Satan is going to go directly and persecute that woman, the nation of Israel. And they're told, look, that's the abomination of desolation. When he goes into the temple, he's going to sit in the temple showing himself that he's God. He's going to desecrate the temple. Israel's told to flee Jerusalem, flee Judea. Don't even go back in the house and get anything, because for the next 3.5 years it's going to be hell on earth. Now, that's a little prophecy for you. That just gives you a little bit of understanding on the 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ is going to come back. Revelation 19, the Bible says that the armies which are in heaven, not floating around somewhere to mid-trib, post-trib rapture, but the armies, and I'm going to repeat all this because I don't want to give too much and not do it again. But you guys are here. Come on, I got to give you something. So what happens is, in Revelation 19, the Bible says that heaven is open for the second time. It's open first in Revelation 4:1. John goes up, picture the rapture. Church is no longer on earth. It shows church is never mentioned from Revelation 4 through Revelation 19. So the heavens open. The armies which are in heaven follow Jesus Christ back to this earth. And really, I got to get back to my message. I can't go too much further. Just understand, that's the layout of this thing. So when I talk about Daniel's 70th week, I'm talking about that 7-year period. After Jesus Christ comes back, He sets this kingdom up, 1,000-year reign of Christ. Everybody, and here's the point I want to make. At the rapture, there's only lost left. At the second coming, Christ is going to destroy all of His enemies. Guess the only ones that are left on this earth, guess who they are? They're the saved ones. The Bible says in the last verse of Matthew 25 that they actually have life eternal. So everybody on earth has life eternal. Now they're going to have children in the millennium when they go in. And those children aren't going to have life eternal. They're going to have natural bodies. All right, and they're going to have more children and more children, and they're going to have to make a decision. Do I turn to God? Do I get to know God? Or do I not know God? And if they don't know God, we'll get to that at the very last point this morning, tonight. I don't even know if I'm in the morning or night anymore. All right, Isaiah chapter 19. Now I need to talk to you about Egypt for a second. The kingdom blessings of Egypt in Isaiah 19 verse 18. In that day shall 5 cities of the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan. Notice the wait a minute. Cities? Egypt? Muslims speaking the land of Canaan, the language of Canaan? That sounds like the Jewish, the Hebrew language. It is. And swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day, and that's a key phrase there, shall there be an altar to the Lord. Wow, they're going to be serving God. In the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and He shall send them a Savior and a great one, and He shall deliver them. Look at verse 21. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt. And the Egyptians shall what? Know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. What does that tell you about the Egyptians? They're going to know the Lord. They're going to be redeemed. The Egyptians? Man, God has Gentile nations prepared for His nation, Israel. And listen, everything's going to change. All, you know, we had a president that said he's going to bring change. He only left us change. That's all we had left after he got done. That's for sure. But listen, after the rapture, change is coming. And it's a good thing. Look at verse 25. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt. What? What? Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. You see, things are going to be a little different then. Verse 1 tells you the context. Look, go back to verse 1 of Isaiah 19. The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at His presence. The heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. So you see, things are going to be quite different. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. By the way, this is the most technical message that I will preach, other than one other message this week. And I will have PowerPoint. You'll see a lot of slides. All the Scripture will be on the board, just because I do prophecy conferences where they have different versions. I want one version up there. Number two, I go a little fast, okay? Because I want you to realize when you left, you got some truth. And we record everything, so you can always go back and listen to the recordings. And they are free. Everybody likes that in the Baptist church. Sermon audio. You can go on there, and I've got all the sermons go on sermon audio. I don't know what all. You guys will be live and doing everything else. And listen, 10 churches coming together to put on a prophecy conference. 10 independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. Amen, glory, hallelujah. Very few places in this country do you have that. There's a couple that I know, but I won't tell you where they are. You might want to move and leave Tennessee. Not that anybody would ever want to leave Tennessee. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Look at what the Bible says in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Don't you just like the Bible? The Bible says God took them by the hand like a child and led them out of Egypt. Why? Man, they'd been in Egypt a long time. Took a long time to get Egypt out of them. Took a whole lot longer to get Egypt out of them than to get them out of Egypt. He took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Boy, glory, hallelujah. I am not a replacement. I don't call them theologians. I don't believe that the church replaced Israel. No way, shape, form, or fashion. Israel's coming back in. They were broken off. We're grafted in, Romans 11. But listen, they're going to be back into the prominence after the rapture of the church. The church is gone at that time. He's going to turn back to Israel because Israel has these promises that God is going to fulfill. And if you believe that the church gets to steal them, you don't know your Bible. Your Bible dumb. See, that's mean. No, not with a smile on my face. You can't get mad at me when I smile, right, brother? You smile and they all look at you and go, man, that's a good guy. When I first saw him, I said, man, that's a good guy. I appreciate him. I appreciate the work that's gone in from your pastor, especially, and the church, and anybody that's been involved. I know Brother Scott Young. Boy, I'll tell you what. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. We need to do this. We need to show other churches and get together and say, hey, listen, we're not alone. You remember, that's what discouraged Elijah. He says, man, I'm the only prophet. And God says, no, I got 750 there for you. All right, look at verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. Now some say, well, wait, they're not going to teach? Listen to the context. And every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. In other words, the only ones that are going to be here are those that know the Lord. The saved are the only ones that are going to be here at that time. So they don't need to be taught know the Lord. That's all he's saying. It doesn't mean they're going to quit teaching. There's going to be no teaching. Hebrews is going to give us another verse. The same verse is quoted in Hebrews. Many have misinterpreted all these years. But they're not going to be saying know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Remember, at the second coming, God destroys all of His enemies. So who's left on earth? Only those that know the Lord. So why would anybody have to teach them to know the Lord if the only ones left are those that know the Lord? That's the context. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will, and look, how do you know the Lord? For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. That sounds like a saved person to me. Now look at Hebrews chapter 8. The same passage in Hebrews, it's a quote from Jeremiah 31, has confused people for a long time. Hebrews, talking about when the nation of Israel will come back into prominence. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant. By the way, I believe that Hebrews applies to the church today. So what I just said, don't take it out of context. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. That always refers to after the church age, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying this, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Didn't that ever bother you? Well, everybody's going to know the Lord. At the second coming, everybody will know the Lord because the only ones left here are the believers. The only ones left on earth. He destroys all of His enemies. How's he going to protect the believers? Well, in Matthew 24, the Bible says that, Revelation 19, heaven's open. Matthew 24, He's going to send His angels to gather the elect. Now, don't get confused. I'm not a Calvinist. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. If I was, then I'd just say, well, you know, you can witness one time and just quit because it you know, say la, fi la la, whatever you say, you know, what will be, will be. What is that saying?
Que sera,
sera. Thank you.
Doris Day.
Doris Day. I don't need that part. Didn't she just die?
She did.
Oh man, she was one of the good actresses, one of the good gals. I don't even know if that was a good way of saying that. If you're a women's liber, I've just offended you. Tough luck, I'm not. Just kidding. Look at Matt. Look at, well, let's continue on. It says, in those days saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. From the least to the greatest. Mm-mm-mm. Now, where do I go from here? Well, according to my new order, I'll go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, and we are coming down for a landing. Just make sure you stick with me. Oh, look at that. I had two pages backwards. I'd renumbered them, thankfully. All right, Hosea, and listen, don't worry. They're the little ones, okay? Hosea chapter 6. This again is prophecy. Verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days. Now the Bible says 1 day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1 day. Many people look at this and they say, well, there's the 2,000 years. As prophecy. After 2 days will He revive us. That's the nation of Israel. In the third day, that's the millennium yet to come, the 1,000 years yet to come, He will raise us up and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. You see, those that are here, that are birthed after in that third day, that third in the millennium yet to come, will have to go on to know the Lord, because they will not be birthed knowing the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. The Bible often employs the term heathen as a reference to the lost. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen. Look at what it says. That know thee not. And upon the families that what? Call not on thy name. You know what we're told. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. They're not going to call upon the name of the Lord. They don't know God, and they're lost. They're heathen. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him, consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. Now turn back one chapter to chapter 9, verse 3. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth unto the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. They know not me, saith the Lord. You see, when you look in that Bible, if you want to know whether somebody is saved or not saved, from Genesis to Revelation, it's whether they know God or they don't know God. That's it. So all this hullabaloo, well, who, you know, how's a person saved in the Old Testament? Either they know God or they don't know God. And if they know God, it's because they've trusted in Him. That is the key. Look at Exodus chapter 5. I'll show you something I thought was really cool. Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh of Egypt? He thought he was a big dog. You know, Moses comes in there and he says, hey, you know, you were here with my father and I'm not going to do what you say. And, you know, Moses throws the staff down and it turns into a serpent and they're like, wow. And they go, well, the magicians can do that. Well, they were okay until Moses' staff ate up their staff. Or you might say Moses' serpent ate up their serpent. See, the devil can imitate, But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, listen to Pharaoh's testimony here in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go?" Look at what he says. What does he say? "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." That is a testimony of a lost man. I don't care where you are in the Bible. We're now back in Exodus chapter 5. That's before the law. And he says, "I know not God." Why? Because Pharaoh was a lost man. Now, turn to Judges 2. Again, I think this one's real excited. This is Joshua. Joshua led the people of Israel after Moses. After Joshua's death, much of the nation of Israel forsook the Lord and followed other gods. In Judges 2:10, what does the Bible say? "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." That's Joshua's generation. "And there arose another generation after them." What does it say? "Which what? Knew not the Lord." You see, Joshua's generation had Moses and Joshua, and he talked to them about the Lord, and many of them knew the Lord. What happened after Joshua died? That next generation didn't know the Lord. That's why Israel turned into apostasy. Why they turned to other gods. Listen, all this stuff starts making sense when you start just studying one thing in your Bible. Whether they knew God or didn't know God. "So they knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served" who? "Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." Boy, what an amazing Bible. Pharaoh didn't know the Lord, and he said it. This generation knew not the Lord, and they acted like lost people. Why did they act like lost people? Because that's who they were. That's who they were. Again, we're coming down for a landing. David gives instructions to his son Solomon. Now we've gone from Moses to Joshua and Pharaoh back there. And now we're going to look at David real quick. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28, when Solomon was a young man, David gave him some advice in verse 9. And he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son," what does he say? "Know thou the God of thy father." Solomon followed that advice. And then he's told to serve Him. Know Him first, serve Him second. What does it say? "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever." David specifically gave his son Solomon a piece of advice, and that piece of advice was, know God. You know what you ought to tell your children? You better know God. You better know God. And if you don't know God, then you will die and you will go to hell for all eternity. Again, we're bringing it in for a landing. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to give you this last two. We're on point 12 of point 13. Psalm 9. No, I tell you what. Yeah, go to Psalm 9. Some might wonder what it means to know God. All those who know God put their trust in Him. You know, in the Bible, Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye trusted." By the way, all the modern versions take that word "trusted" out. The only place in your New Testament you're told to trust in the Lord or you trust in the Lord for salvation is in Ephesians 1:13 in the King James Bible. "In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth." Watch this. "In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, "whom also after ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." What an amazing verse for the devil to change, but he does. In Psalm 9, verse 10, look at what the Bible says. "And they that know thy name," will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken Thee, but seek Thee. You look at it two ways. You know Him, and therefore you trust Him. Or you know Him because you trusted in Him. And I think it goes both ways in that, even though the verse, you know, could read either way. Psalm 5, verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice." All those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. And I am down to the last verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. To me, this is like the icing on the cake. All right, I gave you the outline. The outline of the end times. The next great event on the calendar is the rapture of the church. 7 years, Daniel's 70th week. At the end of 7 years, second coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, He is going to destroy all of His enemies. That's the verse we're getting ready to look at right now. This is from 2 Thessalonians. My pastor and I wrote a book on 1 and 2 Thessalonians called Reviving the Blessed Hope. We wrote one on Matthew 24 and 25 called When the End Begins. Our latest one is called One Book Rightly Divided. It's 884 pages. That is not my biggest book, but it teaches the whole Bible dispensationally from Genesis through Revelation and then back again a couple times because you get that big. Oh, you got it right there.
Amen. Southwestern Radio Bible.
You heard me on the radio. Well, amen. Well, I'll sign that for you because I will sign that. Well, amen. I'll tell you what, you got a great piano player. You know it? You know that, right? And I do appreciate the song that was sung. Where is she here? Oh, there she is. There she is. Amen. I appreciate that. The words in that really spoke to me. I always forget to say something. Like right now, I'm getting ready to introduce my wife. This is my wife, Judy, over here. By the way, when I was at... Did you see any of the video when I was up in Indiana when I said, "And this is my wife, Judy"? And you know what you're supposed to do when I do that? Man, Judy, Judy, Judy. We're back to Doris Day in the television again. All right, the last verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is when Jesus Christ comes back. What does the Bible say? Verse 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Here's the revelation of Jesus. Not the rapture, the second coming. When He's revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that what? Know not God. You know who's going to die whenever Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming? All those that don't know Him. That don't know Him. That know not God. All the way from Genesis through Revelation, the key is, do you know Him or don't you know Him? And if you don't know Him, you're lost. I don't care what dispensation you are in. Those that don't know God in Genesis died and went to hell. Pharaoh in Exodus said, "I don't know the Lord." He died and went to hell if he didn't come to know Him. Now we're all the way on the other end at the second coming of Jesus Christ, right before He destroys the heaven and the earth and makes a new heaven and new earth, Revelation chapter 20 and 21. The Bible says this, again, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." What does that say? If they don't obey the gospel, when you obey the gospel, what is the obedience? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Obeying the gospel is doing what God says, and that is believing on His Son Jesus Christ. And I don't care where you are. Daniel 70th week, millennium, Old Testament, church age. If you, and listen, there weren't anybody looking forward to the cross. Peter and the apostles didn't understand the cross. There'll be people that'll probably watch this and say, well, you're saying everybody's going to get saved by looking forward to the cross. No, I don't believe Peter understood the cross. I believe Peter knew God in his heart. And he got saved. Because the Bible says none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Jesus Christ hadn't gone to the cross yet. Well, if none of them is lost but the son of perdition, then Peter was already saved. The only one that wasn't saved was Judas Iscariot. And what you'll say about Judas is he knew not God. The point is this. Do you know God? Not here. Do you know God here? Why? The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. It's with the heart. It's a heart matter. Is your heart right before God? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? The Bible says, in whom you also trust that, you heard the word of truth. You hear the word of truth tonight? Have you heard the word of truth? Did you ever trust in Jesus Christ? I don't care how long you've been a member here. You can be a member here for 30 years and still be lost. I have had people walk the aisle that have been members of a church for 30 plus years and get saved. Why? Because they just didn't have peace. You want to know that you know? Then get it settled. Get it settled tonight. Listen, we're going to have an invitation time. It isn't trying to get anybody to walk the aisle and get re-saved. There's no such thing. It isn't just, and I won't tell you to pray a prayer and that prayer is going to save you. What I'll tell you is, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Have you ever trusted in Him? If you haven't trusted in Him truly, then you haven't believed on the Lord to be saved. And that's what you need to do. You need to know God. Let's stand to our feet. Bow our head, close our eyes. Let me pray. Lord, I do thank you for your many blessings. I just pray, Lord, you have your will and your way in the services now. I just pray that if there's a lost person in our midst, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day when they come to know Thee as Savior. With your head bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a question. If you'd say, Brother Doug, I know for sure that I'm saved. No doubt about it. Would you slip your hand up? All right, all over the room. I don't know, you know, I can't tell if some couldn't raise their hand, but maybe you couldn't. You can put your hands down. I don't do it to embarrass you. No doubt about it. I do not do it to embarrass you. But if you'd like me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. Or maybe you just want to step out from where you are. Come grab the preacher's hand, somebody's hand, and say, hey, I want to get saved today. But is there anybody in our midst that say, Brother Doug, I have never been saved or I don't have assurance of salvation. I'd like you to pray for me. That's all I'm going to do, although I will try to tell you how to get saved. Is there anybody like that? Raise your hand up. Just slip your hand up. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Anybody say, Brother Doug, I am not saved, but I want you to pray for me right now. Anybody like that? Is God speaking to you in some way about that? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Anybody? Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, you have your will and way during this week of prophecy conference. Just pray, Lord, that, Lord, help me to get out of the way and speak through me. And Lord, help me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Brother?
Thank you, Dr. Stoffer. You may be seated briefly tonight. Great way to start a prophecy conference. Say, I don't know, that wasn't a lot of prophecy. Well, there was quite a bit in there. But a great way to start, you know why? Because you got to start with salvation, right? We got to make sure we're saved, that we know Jesus. Love that. Great message and great thought tonight. We're going to continue with some great, like you said, slideshows, and not just Bible. We don't just have a prophecy speaker here. We have a Bible preacher here, prophecy preacher this week. So I know it'll be blessed. I'm really, really excited about this week, Ernie. I'm really blessed to get to take them out to lunch tomorrow, okay? So I get in first, so I can ask questions, go over how the week's going to go. There are still about 3 opportunities for lunch or dinner to take Dr. and Mrs. Stoffer out. If you'd like to do that, let me know tonight throughout the week, and I'll let you kind of have first pick. A lot of other preachers from other churches and families will be taking them out. We're trying to cover their lunch and dinner each day. But just a blessing tonight. Good review for us and some deeper Bible knowledge and knowing Jesus. And seeing that all throughout the Bible, that was great. I couldn't help but think about 1 John 3, where it talks about in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not," as we saw tonight. Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I love it. We get to know him better, and one day we'll get to know him personally, physically even. We'll get to see him face to face. And I love that truth. And like the Bible says, we're supposed to grow in our knowledge and the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to grow. And I want to know some more this week. If you want to grow and you want to know some stuff, you come out this week and be with us, okay? Tomorrow we will be leaving here in a van at 6 p.m. If anybody would like to come, you can hop in a van and go. I will not be riding. I'm going to be there earlier to make sure we're getting things set up correctly. But I'll see you there, okay? And I hope and trust that you'll come ready for a good Bible message. And we'll be taking time for questions and answers throughout the week also. If nothing else, let's go ahead and stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this great opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Like we said earlier, Lord, just kind of being a catalyst for this week. We thank you for letting us start where we needed to on salvation. Lord, help us just to know you personally in salvation, but let us know you more in sanctification also, God. Just growing closer to you this week. Help us draw near to you, even with the Bible messages and wonderful fellowship that we'll have this week. I pray that you would bless Dr. and Mrs. Stauffer, help them to have a great week here for them. Let it be a fruitful ministry for them and fruitful for all of us and all churches that are represented. Lord, we pray as we try to get out there and spread the news, and even on a day of visitation, the men and I were able to go out and tell other churches in the area about the meeting. Lord, I pray that some people would come, and that it would be a great time in you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for allowing us to know you, and that you know us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.